We continue in Ish Halacha, the section called Koach HaYotzer Shebo, man's creative capacity. In the Hebrew, Besore Yachid VaYachad, we're looking at page 151. In the translation of Lawrence Kaplan into English, we're looking at page 105. Shichlul HaYitzira BeHitgashmut HaHalacha. Perfecting creation through the realization of halakha. The subject of the last section that we read as the introduction to this second half of Ish Halakha, the essay, Halachic Man, has set down the following premise, that God created a world that's imperfect, and he invites, as it were, man to join with him to perfect the world, to become a partner with God in the creative process. And the Rav continues, he says, "Ksha'adam gulata koteret shel habriya bala olam te'udato biyado te'udat hayitzira." The key word in this sentence is te'uda, which is a responsibility, is a task. When man, who is the crowning glory of the universe, of all of creation, comes into this world, he has Talmudo biyado, he has Teudato biyado, his task is in his hand, and that is to be creative. Chayav hu la'amod al mishmar ha'avaya hazaka v'atorah lashlim et habgam. You remember that the Rav, in the last section that we saw, spoke about how in the literature of Kabbalah, there is an idea that repeats itself over and over again about the dark side, about the angels of destruction, about all sorts of forces of tohu vavohu, of chaos and void that threaten to inundate the world, to destroy the world. They're being pushed back. But the world is in this imperfect state. And therefore man is called upon now to stand guard. The Rav uses the term La'amod al Hamishmar, which is a very modern term used here in Israel. And his job in standing guard is to protect that existence that's pure, the good part of the world. And to go beyond that, lashlim et hapagam, to perfect those and repair those defects in the earth. That's called pagam. We're going to see this word pagam, defect, over and over again. We'll see the word hashlama or shichlul over and over again, to perfect. Es hachaser et hachaser shebipoal v'et hanedar shebiyeshut. There's something deficient or lacking, incomplete in the entire universe, in the created cosmos, and man is called upon to complete the creation, and this, in effect, is going to be man's most fervent desire, as we see in the next presentation of the Rav. Hayitzur Mitzuvelish Tatefim Ayotzer B'chidush Maaseh Breishit, as the Rav said earlier, the created being is called upon to live up to his responsibility to become a partner with the Creator in creation. Yitzirag Mura Ushlema. What is the ultimate goal? The desire of man is the Yitzirag Mura Ushlema, a perfect created world. Zoi she'ifat ha-she'ifot, this is the greatest aspiration of Knesset Yisrael, to renew the cosmos, to perfect the imperfections, to be omed ala mishmar, and protect the pure and good side of existence. Parashat vayichulu ha-shamayim v'aretz v'chol tzva'am. What is the word vayichulu? We translate it as completed, but the Targum says the ish tachlulu, which is a different phrase. It means perfected. Milashon shichlul, to perfect. And that is a mandate that's inherent in this pasuk to man to participate in the shichlul, in the completion of the perfection of the universe. Vehi megilat hastarim shel nishmat ha'uma. This is the most profound expression of the very soul of the nation of Israel. Umasat nafsho, the most fervent desire, shel ish elokim, of the man of God. Idia ontologit, ontology refers to being. Niskevavirovima, this very lofty expression of the essence of being and what the people of Israel have to accomplish. He says, Me'ira et darko shel am hanetzach. This will illuminate the very derech, the very path of the eternal people. I like that phrase, am hanetzach, referring to Klal Yisrael. It's an eternal people whose expression of soul, whose essence of soul, is the desire to perfect the world. And that's what the pasuk inherently alludes to when it says "Vayechulu Hashamayim v'aretz v'chol tzvaam," and it's a calling to man, to the man of God, to participate in this process. This is the lofty idea that illuminates, the Rav says, the entire pathway of the eternal people. Ukshadam Yisrael Omer Barve Shabbatot Kiddush Hayom Al Kos Yain Malei, when the Jew reaches his Friday night Kiddush table, Hareu Me'id, he's testifying, Lo Rak Al Metziut Yotzer Holam, not only on the reality, the existence of a creator, which is certainly a simple understanding of Kiddush, Elagam, moreover, in addition, Al Chovat Adam Le'asot Shutaf LaKodesh Baruch Hu, on the obligation incumbent upon man to become a partner with God in the Hamshachat Yitzirato V'Shechula, the continuation of the process of perfecting the creation which God began but never completed. K'shem Shakadosh Baruch Hu Shechlel Et Tchum HaVaya B'Sheshet Yimei Breshit, what God began in the process during the 6 days of creation to improve the Havaya, the existence, B'Tchum HaVaya, Chayav Adam Ligmaret HaYitzira, man, once he's created, emerges as a being, as a partner with creation, LaFokit Reshut HaTov Avo LiYeshut Shleima V'Yafa. Man has to, in a sense, undermine the Tov Avo, destroy and completely zap the void and the chaos, and in its place perfect this beautiful reality that we live in. Ukshadami Yisrael Yotzei Achutza, and now the Rav has a whole discussion about the brachos that we recite once a month in Kiddush HaLevana. V'ro'eh Sahar. Sahar is actually an Aramaic word which means the moon. Chiver is pale. Moteach Chutei Or, it somehow sends off strands of light. Anugim b'chalalo shel olam. Anugim means delicate, and these strands of light are sent off into the far-reaching empty spaces of the atmosphere. Hareu mevarech alav. He makes the following bracha. Why does he make a bracha? The Rav says, Tofa'a kozmit tiv'it u'mesuderet kazu. On the one hand, the orderly natural phenomenon that is so beautifully arranged according to the law of nature, of the Chidush Halavana, of the appearance of the new moon, Ma'oreret b'todato hadatit, it stimulates the religious consciousness of the man of God. In what direction? And here the Rav has a duality, an inner conflict. Because on the one hand, to see the moon coming back again gives us great hope. It reestablishes the law and the seder of nature, which keeps the world in shape. But on the other hand, the Rav says, it's ma'orer machshavot nogot. These are melancholy thoughts. Because man becomes aware of the fact that the moon wanes away. When he contemplates this wonderful spectacle of the return of the moon, now it's a new cycle, and the moon is now waxing. He observes in the lawful cycle of the of nature here with regard to the moon, me'ein pgima v'chidush. On the one hand, there is a pgima, some sort of a flaw. On the other hand, there's a chidush, there's some sort of renewal. So there's a defect and a renewal. This is a paradox. Pgima talavana, the moon wanes away, v'chidusha, but then it waxes again. And within this tofa'ah, as the Rav calls it, this spectacle, what does the man of God see? He sees in it pgimat hayitzira, on the one hand, the defect in creation, but on the other hand, at the same time, umilua, its replenishment. And this is the bracha that he recites. Asher b'mararo barash chakim, Chok uzman natan lahem shelo yishanu tafkidam. God has created the heavens and he gave the celestial spheres, the sun, the moon, the stars, a fixed time. Chok uzman shelo yishanu tafkidam. They're loyal to fulfill their charge. And enkan mitus chas v'chalil, this is not a mythological concept, heaven forbid, ela hakarat hachok hativi, but rather an awareness of the natural law that governs mahalech tzvaot hashamayim, the course of the heavenly spheres, v'yedi'ah astronomit b'ruga, and an awareness, a knowledge of precise astronomical calculations, Baram, but paradoxically at the same time, Hachok Atzmo, Vatnua Mesuderet Atzma, Misamlim, Mistoriut Mufla'a, there's some absolute wondrous mystery that has to be taken apart or analyzed, because within this law itself and the order in the natural law of the movement of these celestial bodies, we're going to recite a bracha which includes an entirely different element. On the one hand, as we said, seeing, becoming aware of this great spectacle of the natural cycle of the spheres. But on the other hand, we see something called a pgima, some sort of a defect in creation itself. So the Kiddush HaLevana represents this, if you will, thesis and antithesis, this Hegelian kind of dialectic between, on the one hand, the perfection of the universe through law and order in the natural world, but on the other hand, the pgima, those forces of defect, those incomplete elements in the universe. And here, quoting the Lashon of Rambam in the first parak of Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh, the Rav says, Oto Beitin, that very same court, Shaya machashev v'cheshbonot kederch shemachshivim atztagninun, sheyodim mekomot hakochavim umahalchim, the court utilizes the very, very same calculations that are reflective of the science of astronomy, they went out and saw the new moon and recited the following blessing. They said, Yehi ratzon me'bil his will. Shetemale es pegimas halavona. So Knesset Yisrael becomes aware of this course of the moon in orbit, of the laws of nature that are absolutely precise and reliable according to the astronomical calculations, but at the same time, pegimat habria umilua, to view and become aware of the defects and the need for renewal in creation itself. May it be thy will to replenish the defect of the moon. Va'al yevo shum mi'ut. And there should be no diminution of its light. V'hi or halvana ka'or hachama. Let the light of the moon be equal to the light of the sun. Ki or shivat yimei breshit, as it was before it was diminished during the days of creation. Kimosha ita kodem miuta, kimosha emar et shnei hamaorot hagdolim. There were two great lights that were created. They were equal, the sun and the moon. A fascinating, mysterious kind of mystical prayer, very esoteric, in which the Jewish people, Knesset Yisrael, mitkavenet biofen allegori bitfilata zu klapei shechlul habria. There is a metaphorical reference to that hope and that desire, that fervent prayer and desire for the perfection and the repairing of the defects in the cosmos that we began with tonight. And not only that, but in desiring through this prayer, asking, petitioning for the perfection of the Bria and the Milui Pegimas Masa Bereshit and the repairing of the defects inherent in the creative process itself, this is a reference to the eschatological vision of Yeshayahu HaNavi in Perek Lamed, V'hoya or halavonika or achama. So on the one hand, we're looking at some astronomical phenomenon, which is part of the law of nature, repeats itself month after month according to a definite law and structure, and is arranged very precisely. But on the other hand, we're seeing something much more in this very process of the waning and the waxing of the moon on a monthly basis. We are seeing a spectacle which is symbolic of the very vision of Yeshayahu HaNavi at the end of days, V'hoya or halavona kara chama, when the universe will be perfected, when the light of the moon will go back to its original status, as it were, at the time of creation before the light was diminished. Unbelievable. Who would ever even dream about the layers and layers of deeper and more profound esoteric meanings that lie hidden in a tefillah which most people recite and almost take for granted without paying much attention to. And the Rav continues. He says, Minikudat mabat sodit zu, if we examine the experience of our vision of nature from this particular esoteric vantage point, Tofeset Knesset Yisrael Gorala Karuch Begoral Havayakula. The understanding, the perception is that the fate of Knesset Yisrael is somehow intertwined with that of the entire cosmos, existence as a whole. Because the world itself is Peguma, it is impaired. Shesu'ah, it is torn. Al yedei kochot shliliyim, through those negative forces that we discussed, Eitanei Ha'efes, those powerful, mighty forces of nothingness, of negativity, Hamitziyut HaFizit. But paradoxically, the physical reality, Hayeshut HaRuchanit HaStaret, and on the other hand, the spiritual historical reality, Shteyam Nityasru B'mida Yidua B'Shelton HaTov Avova Tahom, V'Goralot Elu Makbilim Zeloze. There is an absolute parallel between the fate of the natural physical reality and the Jewish historical existence on a spiritual level. Both have suffered because of the control and the power of Tov Avoh and its forces, its dominion, chaos and void. And the fates of both, whether it's nature in its move forward towards perfection, whether it's Klal Yisrael in its difficult climb and battle to protect itself against the forces of Tov Avoh, striving for perfection in the Chazon of Achrit HaYamim, to realize that vision of the end of days, there's a parallel between the two. K'shiyitkashem HaTalich HaHistori Shel Yisrael, and here the Rav puts the historical process of the Jewish people first, when that will reach its fruition, is then V'yagia L'maron Piskat Hishtalmuto. Then in the same way, Timalena Pigimot HaYitzira Kula, the flaws of creation will be repaired. So in a sense, the flaws of creation being repaired is something that follows suit. It's going to be a mirror image that's generated and resultant of the perfection of the Jewish people as they reach the conservation of their perfection. And therefore, V'lalvana Amar, again referring to the prayer of Kiddush HaLavana, the Rav quotes this extensively, Shetitchadesh Ateret Tiferet LaMusei Vatan, that we're asking for the renewal of the Ateret Tiferet. I mean, that's a difficult phrase to translate. Let's see if we can take a quick peek in English. We're up to page 105 in English. He translates it in the following way. He bade the moon renew itself for those who are burdened from birth, who like her will be renewed and will extol their Creator on account of the name of His glorious kingdom. I think it's a loose translation here. He's not necessarily translating this prayer literally, but basically what we see in the prayer is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to ask the moon to renew itself on behalf of those who are amusei vaten, who are those who are burdened from birth, he translates, meaning Knesset Yisrael. And Hema Sidim L'Schadish Kemosa, the people of Israel will be renewed just as she, the moon, the Levana, will be renewed. And all this is Lefire Liotzom, because of the glorious name, Kvod Malchuso, of His kingship in this universe. So man's prayer, out of a depth of longing, of hoping for the situation of Klal Yisrael to be perfected, is now focused on the moon, which represents those empty places in the universe, those nothingnesses, the inner split, so to speak, within the universe. So the spectacle of the moon in its chidush is at the same time full of hope and glory, and it radiates hope because it is a chazon, it is a vision of the future in which the Erech renews itself, perfects itself, and the universe as a whole perfects itself, and at the same time, it generates in the conscious mind a state of melancholy because the Jew realizes that we haven't gotten there yet. The moon is going to appear, and yet it's going to wane away. Now, does the Rav actually believe literally that in the future of days, the moon will reach such a state of perfection that it will equal the sun? Is there going to be that kind of astronomical change in the very fabric of the universe? I don't know. I'm tempted to think not, because when he writes Timalena Pigimota Yitzira Kula, he adds the Hebrew word allegorit, which is not really a Hebrew word, but in the Hebrew version. In other words, this is allegorically a symbol of the perfection of creation. It doesn't mean that physically the Rav believes it's actually going to change, the universe is going to change. Ha'adam chayav lashlim masha pagam yotzro. This is an unbelievable phrase. And we're going to see this reflected in the Gemara in Shavuos Daf Tes, Reish Lakish's statement, that really man is perfecting that which God impaired, the Creator impaired. In other words, with regard to any other chatos, the pasuk speaks about a carbon chatos, but here in Bamidbar Chofches, the Torah adds the phrase Lashem. It's a chatos Lashem. Says Reish Lakish, Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Soyer Ze Ye Kapora Al Shemi Atati Es HaYoreach. God Himself declares that this Soyer should be a Kapora for my act of diminishing the moon. In other words, as opposed to every other sin offering, any other Chatos, which is unto the Lord, you know, it's brought unto God. This chatos is on behalf of God. Lashem means for God. And the Rav, in a footnote here, tells you to look in the Gemara in Shavuos. And then, in the next footnote, he quotes the statement of Rabbi Yishmael in Sanhedrin Ayin Beis, which again is part of our minhag to recite in Kiddush Levana, which indicates how significant the ritual of Kiddush Levana is. Ilmoli lo zoch Yisrael lahakvil pnei avim shbashvayim kol chodesh v'chodesh dayom. That would be enough. Knesset Yisrael mevi'ah kapara al hakodesh baruch hu. We're bringing this kapara on behalf of Hashem. And why? Kaviyochol, again, this is obviously not to be taken in the most literal sense, but shlo hishlim es habria kula, because God did not complete the bria, the creation. Borei olam mi'et, He diminished. Et dmut hayitzira, the image of creation, v'shi'ur komata, and its stature, kedei laniach makom liyitzir kapav, He wanted to leave room for man to complete the process of creation. La teret adam beketer shel borei v'yotzer. So the man will be wearing the crown, granted the crown, of a creator and a maker. Now here the Rav has a long footnote, much of which, I would say half of which, is in Yiddish, and he quotes from the Yiddish short story writer Yud Lamed Peretz, and I don't know if we have time to go through, and how important it is to go through this long footnote. In the English version, it's number 114, but in Peretz's short story, he describes a meeting, an encounter between an innkeeper and a little boy, and this little boy says two things in one sentence, and it's very paradoxical. He, on the one hand, is hoping for another scallion. He only has one. He wants a second. And on the other hand, he really wants to see Mashiach come. He says, this little boy, I want the moon to become bigger already. It's such a pity on her. True, she sinned, but to suffer so much And we're already living in the sixth millennium. This is all this child, as he expresses, this boy expresses himself to the innkeeper, and the child is hoping that the innkeeper will give him another scallion. It's a very, very strange dialogue between the child and the innkeeper. Now, what the child doesn't realize, which the innkeeper is aware of, is that the child's father, because this child is a yosom from his mother, is about to get remarried, and the stepmother will have nothing good towards the stepchild. And although now he could ask for another scallion, in just a short amount of time he's going to be in need of a piece of bread. Now, the Rav adds the following comment. He says, even those downtrodden Jews of the shtetl, the peddlers, etc., etc., they were all people who were imbued with an inner attractiveness. There was an ember of holiness within the hearts of these figures, even though they were drowning in the overwhelming worries and pressures of and troubles of life. There was a flame that was burning in the depths of their souls, no matter how desolate and depressed were their spirits. On the one hand, it seemed as if all they were concerned about was a few miserable pennies, a few bare necessities in life. I'm thinking of the famous short story of Peretz about Buncha Schweig, you know, that all he wanted out of life was and all he dreamed of in the next world was a fresh roll. He was so poor. And like the abandoned, lonely orphan, soon to be the object of a stepmother's wrath, who longed for a second scallion. But on the other hand, that same child yearns for the reign of cosmic righteousness, the implementation in creation as a whole. Like this orphan who prayed for the diminution of the moon to be replenished and that the Mashiach would come, not because of his own individual worries, mind you. It's not because he doesn't have another scallion. Not because he's poor and penniless. Not in order to be redeemed from his bleak, depressing poverty, from the unbearable burdens weighing down upon him, but on account of his yearnings for the redemption of creation, for the perfection of the cosmos. Quote, I want the moon to become bigger already. It's such a pity on her. True, she sinned, but to suffer so much, we are already living in the sixth millennium. At this point, this orphan forgets the fact that his father will soon take a new wife, a stepmother. He'll be a stepchild. He'll have to cry for every last crumb of bread, but instead he prays for the suffering moon. He pains on account of her sin, and he sees in her a cosmic injustice. Is not the image of the Jewish people reflected in such yearnings? On the one hand, bitter exile and cosmic righteousness, the bleak life of the ghetto on one hand, and on the other hand, the dream of the vision of the replenishment of the new moon, yearnings for the perfection of creation. Can there be a greater coincidence of opposites? You know, in a sense, I think this is the most touching, emotionally revealing piece in the entire essay, Ish Halakha. And it reminds me of some of what the Rav would say on Tisha B'Av in Kinnis, when he spoke about Bnos Yisrael Anius Menavlasam, that in truth, the Bas Yisrael representing Knesset Yisrael is holy and pure. But it's the experience of exile and the downtrodden Jew suffering at the hands of Tohu Vavohu, which is Menavlasan, which makes the Jew appear ugly. But that ugliness is only on the outside, it's external, but internally there still is this yearning for the higher realms of perfection, of creation, of the desire for the replenishment of the new moon and the coming of the Mashiach. That's the situation of the Jewish people throughout the many bitter years of Golus, as the Rav calls it, a coincidence of opposites. Very paradoxical. And that's footnote number 114. Am I correct? Yeah. Now, let's go back to the text of Ish Halacha in the Hebrew version. We're on the top of page 155. And in the English, that would be the bottom of page 107. Shichlul ha-yitzirah, the perfection of the created cosmos, mitbatei al pi hashkafato shel ish halacha. How does this concept of the perfection of creation reach its actualization in the world outlook of the ish halacha? Bitgashmut halacha hidealit ba'olam ha-real. There's got to be the actualization of the ideal halacha in the real world, the concrete world. And this is a concept that we've seen before, perhaps more than once, in the Ish Halacha. Shuv mitkaleit hashniyut shal halacha v'torat hasod. Once again, we see the two divergent hashkafot of the Halacha on the one hand, and the Kabbalistic thinkers on the other. B'shasha chokhmat ha-nistar, the Kabbalistic mystics, mashlima et pegimata yitzira lidei ha-latam la-marom. We have to return the universe, so to speak, to its pure, original source, l'makor avaya hazaka v'torah. Halacha, on the other hand, memal'a et ha-chaser, how does it see the perfection of that which is deficient, that which is lacking, boradat hashchina lamata. Through the fulfillment, the implementation of halacha, we bring the shchina down la'olam ha'tachton, to this lower world. Bitzimtzuma transcendentiyut, we're trying to constrict the divine presence of the shchina, contracted as it were. We spoke about symptom contraction many times. B'tocho shel olameinu ha-pagum, down into our flawed world. We're going to bring down the Shechina into our world through the kiyum of the halacha. And the Rav says, kav chadash b'nisuach idiat ha-kedusha bokeh v'olekan. Now what arises is a brand new aspect, a new dimension in the formulation of the idea of Kedusha, of sanctity. Because previously, we have emphasized, Kibishasha isha dat haklali, the universal man of religion, ro'eh, b'musaga kedusha simanei mered, ba'olam hazev ha'pfala, no'azala alot el rosh piskata transcendentilut. The man of religion rebels against this physical world and takes some sort of daring attempt to scale the heights, to reach transcendentalism. But on the other hand, in contrast, Yadut b'fareshet rayon ha-kedusha, what is sanctity from the Jewish perspective? Mivchinat sod ha-tzimtzum, it means contraction, to bring God down, kedusha, sanctity. Zoi yiridat ha-lokut el olameinu ha-mamashi, to bring God from his transcendental spheres above, down into the concrete world, the empirical world that we live in. And here the Rav invokes a pasuk in Dvarim Chav Gimel, Ki Hashem Elokech mitalech bekerev machanecha v'hoye machanecha kadosh. In the encampment of the Jewish people, God will walk in your midst. And this is hitztamtzemut ha'ein sofiyut, this is the contraction of infinity. B'sofiyut ha-mugbelet al yidei chukim midot v'shiurim, bring infinity down to the very circumscribed finite world of law, of measures, and of shiurim, of standards. Hamishtakfot, and here there's apparently a printing mistake, because the Rav says hamishtakfot hishtakfut ha-sobjektiviyut b'toch ha-muchashiyut. Let's see how he translates into the English translation. He says, the appearance of transcendence within empirical reality. So take out the word subjektivut. I don't have the more advanced version of the publication of Ish Halakha. Maybe that mistake was already corrected, because I see in the English he certainly corrected it. Instead of subjektivut, he's got transcendence. Anyway, the point is that the goal here of Kiddushah is to have transcendence appear within the confined physical empirical reality. B'tocha muchashiyut, umaseh, and the act of objectifying and qualifying religious subjectivity, which flows from hidden sources. Hanozelet mimkogot tmirim, hidden sources. So we want to give a certain structure and objectify and quantify that subjectivity which flows, the Rav had compared it, if you remember, to the waves of the sea that have no structure to them. Achshav, and now in the light of this idea of Kiddushah, and now we've spoken about man as a creative partner in creation with God, Achshav mofiat fisa zu, now this outlook on holiness appears or reflects itself, we are idiata yitzira poemet b'mechmanei halacha, in the concept of the treasure house of halacha. Chaloma yitzira niftar, you can resolve the dream of creation, alidei realizatzia shel ikaron ha-kedusha, which means through the halacha and its fulfillment, by implementing the mitzvot of Hashem to bring the transcendental, infinite divinity down into this world. And that's accomplished through the creative process. The creative process of man is following halacha and fulfilling every requirement of halacha. Yitzira zohi gishum ha-ideal shel kedusha. Creativity means the realization of the ideal of sanctity, of bringing God down into this world. Ha-efes va-ayin ha-heder ha-tov avo yon kimitchum ha-chol, which is the opposite of kodesh. All these negative forces and powers of nothingness, of chaos and void, belong to that realm of existence, which is chol, which is completely profane, lacking in kedusha. Havayash leima, on the other hand, the harmonious existence, hayeshus hamishuchlelis, the perfect being, nizones mirshus hakodesh, is grounded in the realm of the holy. So basically, the key to success in our redifa of kedusha, in our attempt to be holy, is to be creative and bring divinity and transcendence down into this world, and that is kedusha. Kshadam rotzel lagila madrigat kedusha, for man to achieve the goal and the status of sanctity, hare olav lihafich liyotzer olamos, he's got to make himself into a creator of worlds. Im ein adam yotzer umechadesh, if man is passive and he foregoes the great opportunity to be a creator, ein hu mitkadesh alokav, he is not in the realm, he doesn't belong to the realm of holiness. He's not holy unto his God. Hatipus hapsichi, this passive type, hamit atzel, who's derelict, he's lazy, b'milui tu'udat hayitzira, in his creative task, eino mitkadesh, he doesn't sanctify himself. Yitzira zoi horadata transcendentliut l'toch olamenu hachur hachomri v'agas, to bring transcendentalism down, lower it into this world, which is turbid, it's coarse, it's material. V'horadah zumit kayemet aidei hit mishut halakha idealit. Everything, the key to success, is the implementation of the ideal halacha b'tibura shel hametziut, in the very core of reality. V'hadam mesamel mitzad echad, and now he talks about man, who symbolizes on the one hand, et hafayah yoter shleimam tukenet, he belongs to the Tzelem Elokim, to the most glorious and majestic part of existence, umitzad acher, but quite paradoxically, on the other hand, he belongs to Tov Vavoh Hayoter Nora, the most terrible, the most severe and profound chaos, Shesholet Biyitzur, that exists and reigns in this creative world. You know, this man is both a divine figure, and at the same time, he's a beast of prey. Kol Hanigud, all this contradiction that we find within the world itself, the Rav calls it the macrocosm, and this contradiction is Bein Tiferet Lemifletzet HaEfes. So on the one hand is the Tiferet, the beauty of Shleimut Antit, of ontological beauty and perfection, but on the other hand there is the monstrous nothingness of void and confusion of Efes, and all this is reflected in a sort of mirror image in the microcosm, the small world of man, the Adam, Vahala, and the latter, being man, Oger el Tocho et ha-yitzira meshuchlelet, he gathers within him, on the one hand, the sophisticated and perfect creation he incorporates within his personality, but on the other hand, et ha-tov avo ha-muflaim, the most unimaginable tov avo, et or v'et ha-chosh, light and darkness, tahom chok, chaya and tzelem elokim, yeshut ha-gasa v'achura v'et havaya ha-behira. Man incorporates within him all the contradictions. He is a being that is strange, he's a dualism, in a very profound way. And the Rav goes on at the end of this paragraph to present the history of philosophy from Plato and Aristotle all the way down to Freud and then later to Nietzsche, all dealt and addressed this issue of the dualism of man. And each philosophical period and school of thought came up with their own resolution to this problem, distinguishing between different parts of man that really, in effect, reflect these two elements of the Tiferet Hashlama Ha'antit on the one hand, and on the other hand, the part of chaos and void of Tov Vavoh within the universe. Man is a microcosm of the universe, and therefore he has within him both contradictory powers. And this problem of dualism throughout the history of philosophy reappears and demands some sort of resolution. Hayadut Omeret, what is the declaration of the Jewish religion? Ki ha'adam omed al parshat drachim, man was placed at a crossroads. V'tohe al kivun sa'adav, that's a very poetic statement. Man wonders, he's confused about what path he should take, where he should step. In what direction? Lefanav alternative no ra'ah. He's got two alternatives that are worlds apart, universes apart. Tzelem Elokim on the one hand, o chayat teref. Should he identify himself as a godly, divine being, or, heaven forbid, as a beast of prey? And the Rav gives many different expressions. He says, "Dmuto shel ish Elokim o diyukan ha'adam elyon shel Nietzsche al adam lachriya lachlit." Should man identify himself with the image of the ish Elokim, the man of God, or, heaven forbid, he should identify himself with that profile of Nietzsche's Superman, who is aggressive, who will destroy anyone, subjugate anyone? And this dualism in man is reflected in the very famous Medrash of Rabbi Yishmael Bar Tanchum on the Pasuk in Tehillim, Achor V'kedem Tzartani, which means, you, God, fashioned me after and before. What is after and before? Man is talking about the creation of man. He says, Achor L'chol HaMasim. On the one hand, man was created at the end of all the other creatures. V'kodem l'chol ha'onshim. And yet, he is the first, he precedes all of man, all of creation when it comes to punishments. What does this mean? Im zoche, if he lives a worthy life, Amrin le, we say, atakadam to l'masa breishis, you are worthy to have preceded all of creation. Shenema v'ruach l'kimra chefes. And it's very difficult to me personally to understand how Rabbi Yishmael derives from Ruach HaLekim Rachefes that man as a creature preceded all of the universe. That's not clear to me. You want to take a stab at it? Yeah, somehow he's darshaning Ruach HaLekim as an allusion to the Ruach of man. I guess insofar as man is godlike, if he goes that way and he identifies himself as a Tzelem Elokim, then the Ruach Elokim here, which preceded creation, is an allusion to the Ruach of man. But v'im lav, if man fails to identify himself with the higher beings, the positive creative beings that he can be, then isn't it true that Yitush Kadmacha Shilshul Kadmacha, a gnat preceded you, a snail preceded you. Kan mitgalmot kol tudat hayitzira v'chovat hayishtatfut b'chidush ma'asei breshit. Ikar ha'ikarimu shehadam chayav litzor et atzmo idia zu horida hayadut l'olam. In other words, the Torah has introduced into the world a very fundamental concept about the nature and the task of man. And that is, man, in so far as part of the cosmos of the creation, he has to renew himself. He has to create himself. He has to place himself either as a Tzelem Elokim that preceded all of creation, or Chas V'Shalom at the end, all of creation preceded him. And this is the segue to the Rav's discussion that we studied a few weeks ago about tshuva. And if you recall, just to say it over very quickly, the Rav in this section, which begins on page 110 in the English, 158 in the Besoda Yachid, presents a conflict, a contradiction in the Rambam as far as vidui is concerned. At the beginning, the kickoff of Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam seems to require vidui as an absolute, indispensable requirement. But on the other hand, the Gemara says, if a man marries a woman with a condition, shani tzadik, even if he's a Rasha, mekudesha sheva hirir tshuva belibo, b'daito, all he needs is a hirir tshuva, without requiring vidui. And the Rav said that the concept of hirir tshuva, relates to what he calls hafkas haloshem rasha, that inner transformation of the personality of the sinner, and he can transform himself from a rasha to a tzaddik through a powerful hirhur tshuva. Whereas there's another dimension of tshuva which is called kapara, which is secondary, and that works through laws and rules, requirements. It's almost juridic in a haloshem kapara. And that is where the Rambam requires vidui is absolutely indispensable. So what's fundamental and underlies really tshuva, it's the first principle of tshuva, is in the Rav's language, pu'ulat shinui hatzmiut vayishiyut. That means to change his status as a rasha, what man is called upon to do, to terminate his past identity and assume a new identity. And the Rav here quotes the language of the Rama Midarche Atshuva Shemeshane Shmo, Klomar, why does he change his name? Ani Acher, I am someone different. V'eini Oso Ha'isha Osa Oso Maisim, I'm not the same individual. Man, through repentance, creates himself his own I. And therefore, we begin to see within the concept, within the context of repentance in halacha, a contrast between ish halacha and ish hadas. Whereas the homo religiosus, views repentance from the perspective of some sort of a burden of man carrying around the guilt for his sin. He's suffering from deep melancholy that afflicts his spirit, and he needs atonement to protect him against punishment. He mourns about the yesterdays that are deep in the past, engraved in stone, irretrievable. And repentance is some sort of self-flagellation in which he protects himself against further punishment. But in the case of a halachic man, the penitent is not indulging in weeping and despairing. He's not lacerating himself, beating away at his flesh. He's not flailing himself. He's not afflicting himself with all these penitential rites, R-I-T-E-S. He forgoes mortification of the body, but rather he's engaged in self-creation, in creating a new I. He's not there to regret an irretrievable past that's lost, but in a past that still exists. And here the Rav presents his understanding within a halachic framework of the philosophy of time, which we discussed at great length. And if man in tshuva creates himself, then certainly we understand the creative capacity of man as he fulfills his responsibility to be godlike and to be creative. And we're going to see how that creative process expresses itself in many different ways. So we'll stop here.